This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump, sources say, has approved attack plans for Iran, but has not given the final go-ahead. ABC's Martha Raddatz is hearing that President Trump is getting comfortable with the idea of the U.S. striking Iran's key nuclear facility buried 300 feet deep under a mountain.
If that final order is given from President Trump, this would not be a single strike on the Fordo facility. It would be a series of strikes with 30,000-pound penetrator bombs from B-2 stealth bombers.
A Massachusetts jury finding Karen Reed not guilty of second-degree murder and manslaughter in the 2022 death of her Boston police officer boyfriend. Just a DUI conviction. For that, 1 year probation. The Federal Reserve kept its key interest rate unchanged today, but policymakers signaling we could still see a couple of interest rate cuts this year. With the U.S. TikTok ban set to go into effect tomorrow, President Trump again extending the deadline. ByteDance has another 90 days to find a U.S.-approved owner. This is ABC News. The Supreme Court has upheld a Tennessee ban on gender-affirming care for transgender minors. The average rate on a 30-year mortgage dipped for the third week in a row to 6.81%. It's the second time in as many years that a sign has changed outside a Texas Army post.
In a Biden administration push to remove the names of Confederate figures from public places, Fort Hood, named for a Southern Civil War general, was changed to Fort Cavazos for a Texas-born Korean and Vietnam War veteran. Under President Trump,
we are also going to be restoring the names to Fort Pickett, Fort Hood, Fort Gordon.
But it's a different Fort Hood, a World War I hero instead of the Confederate general. Jim Ryan, ABC News, Dallas.
The FDA and CDC are warning consumers about a listeria outbreak linked to some ready-to-eat chicken fettuccine Alfredo products. So far, 17 people have been sickened across 13 states with one death and one pregnancy loss. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin,
chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers get rained out. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. Brewers and Cubs are supposed to play tonight at Wrigley Field, but steady rains, game has been called. They'll move tonight's game to August 18th and a doubleheader at Wrigley Field against the Cubs. Chicago winning last night 5-3. The Cubs doing a good job this season closing out games. They are 40-1 when going into the eighth inning with the lead. NFL, I had a chance to talk to the Packers' new president and CEO, Ed Policy, yesterday at Lambeau Field and asked him, when he takes over for Mark Murphy this summer, what are the things he wants to focus on?
The Packers, the entire organization really exists for three things and three things only, and that's to win football games, to keep the Packers in Green Bay, and to strengthen our community. So I'll be really focused on those three things, and the next big thing will be first and foremost to focus on fielding a very competitive football team that's hopefully competing for championships.
That's the Packers' new president and CEO, Ed Policy, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sometimes superheroes need to be stuck up for when they are being bullied, at least when it comes to movies. The marvelous Miss Maisel, also known as Rachel Brosnahan, stuck up for superhero movies. She chatted with Amanda Seyfried for an article in Interview Magazine. Both actors agreed if an actor is going to do a superhero role, they need to own it. As opposed to what Dakota Johnson said after starring in Madam Web and basically trashing the film after it flopped at the box office. Brosnahan is set to play Lois Lane in the upcoming Superman film. As usual, there will be a battle for the top spot at the box office this coming weekend. Distribution prognosticators are predicting How to Train tenured Dragon will keep the top spot after a monster opening weekend. Duking it out for the number two spot at the box office, according to Variety, will be 28 Years Later, the third installment of the 28 Days franchise, and first installment of a new trilogy and Pixar's Elio, a little bit of horror and some family-friendly fare. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise partly cloudy and a low in the low 60s. Sunshine warmer and more humid tomorrow, high in the mid 80s, with more showers and storms around Thursday night and Friday. Highs warm into the upper 80s. Extreme heat watch this weekend. Right now it's 76.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, ICE agents are taking people into custody with no identification and they're masked. What is the legality of that? Jim Santel will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Post. Shop now at causecart.shop, cause.cart.shop.com.
Yeah, we got a little echo here, Wendy. Let me check the StreamYard here.
There you go. Okay, so Robert and I have Native Roots Trading Post, and we sell a lot of our resist gear. We sell earrings, and we sell all kinds of great stuff there. I'm going to give you the website here in just a second. It is called Cause Cart. So it's whoever comes by, the birds. Everybody's thirsty and needs some water, so just put a pan of water outside for our little furry critters out there. Sorry about the delay, and here is Robert.
Hey, thank you, everybody. Hey, we have our friend Arvina Martin, CEO of... Oh, I still have that echo.
Keep talking. Pretend it's not there. Can you hear the echo, Arvina?
I can hear a bit.
A bit, yeah. Okay, so we'll just keep talking. You know what? Tonight, Robert and I will be again at the Minnesota State Capitol tonight from 8 to 9:30. It's a candlelight vigil, and it's for Melissa and her husband, Portman and her husband. It's going to be, I'm sure, very sad and But we will be there at the Minnesota State Capitol tonight in honor of her and her husband. So if you'd like to come and join us, I'm sure there's going to be crowded. You know, Robert and I were there last week, and it was, oh my gosh. I don't hear an echo. Do you hear an echo, Arvina?
I hear something. I'm not sure what's going on.
Okay. Well, let's try it again. We're just going to keep trying. Sorry for the delay. Sorry for the technical difficulties. I can hear a little something, but I don't think it's too bad.
Oh, okay. Hey, thanks, Arvina, for coming on. And, geez, we were talking before the show how, you know, that you were a person that was elected. And we've had some frightening things happen here this past weekend. And I was wondering if you wanted to comment on that.
Yeah, it's tragic and sad and is, you know, preventable. The political rhetoric in this country has gotten so heated that people that maybe, you know, have less inhibitions or maybe have other things that make them more susceptible to kind of hearing conspiracies, et cetera. You know, people start believing and people start putting people on the other side of a political divide that makes the people on the other side less than human. And that makes it, or less of an, or even less of an American. You know, I saw some Fox talking head guy saying, you know, there's two kinds of people, you know, the ones that are good citizens, you know, and back up President Trump, or the ones who aren't. And those kind of binaries are awful and really lead to a lot of dehumanizing, and we're seeing the result of it, whether it is, you know, pulling the National Guard against a governor's wishes, you know, and having the National Guard starting or law enforcement starting, you know, engaging in suppressive tactics, shooting tear gas, shooting rubber bullets at citizens who are peacefully protesting and exercising their constitutionally protected rights. You know, we've got a rise of, you know, anti-Semitic violence happening, you know, not to mention the violence against Muslims, against Palestinians. It's too easy to make people who disagree with you into something that's less than, because then, you know, maybe taking one's life doesn't seem like that big of a stretch. I don't know, but it's absolutely terrifying and very sad.
It is very sad, and it's very scary. I mean, I told a couple of people that I was going to the, you know, the candlelight vigil tonight at the state capitol, and everybody's like, oh, you know, be really careful, you know, be diligent, look around, make sure you're okay. And it's just like, it's really sad that, you know, you can't even do a candlelight vigil and just feel, you know, safe there while you're mourning the loss of people who were murdered. You know, it's really just too much, honestly. And a friend of mine, I said, are you going to be at the Capitol tonight? And she said to me, what she does is she volunteers to help escort people into Planned Parenthood so mm-hmm. that they don't, you know, get harassed, and just for like a safety measure. And they're all having, you know, like a volunteer type get together tonight. And I said to her, yes, I'll be safe, but you be safe, you know, because yeah. she's the one protecting these women as they get out of their car, walking them across the parking lot, while they're being badgered by, you know, protesters, and how horrifying that must feel for her, that we even have to do that in this country today is just, I don't know. I wake up every morning and I'm just like flabbergasted. That's like the only word I could say about how I feel, and like a heaviness. I just feel like a heaviness that, you know, like what's going to happen next? Like I don't feel safe. Like I don't feel like our country's safe. I don't feel like children in school are safe. I don't feel like if we go to a parade or we, you know, go to an event that we're safe. And I always feel like I'm on guard the whole time. It's really,
I mean, constant vigilance is exhausting.
It is exhausting.
And it's exhausting physically, but it's also exhausting emotionally. For people that live in a political world, you know, there were some substantial things that happened this weekend. Obviously the assassination of Representative Hortman and her husband, and the shooting of Senator Hoffman and his wife, you know, that's obviously the top line, but this was, you know, we had a United States senator mm-hmm. attacked by some kind of security. Exactly. While he was lawfully
take a quick break here, and then we'll be right back. Is that right, Robert?
Yep, we'll be right back.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back. Sorry to interrupt.
Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, and this is Native Roots Radio.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you 2 go-card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Minnesota needs diverse teachers who represent our students and communities. Explore teaching degree options at Metro State University's Urban Education Info Session in person at the Minneapolis campus on June 24th. Metro State's programs offer pathways to bachelor's degrees designed for those committed to serving urban communities. Visit campus, get an overview of teaching programs, and meet with an advisor. Sign up at metrostate.edu/urban-teacher-program. Become a teacher. Shape the future. Metro State University.
What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, yes, they do. Hey, we have our friend Arvina Martin on, and Wendy and Arvina, we're getting in a heavy conversation. I guess, Arvina, I'm wondering if you went through anything like this, because I know you're a political person and you were an elected official. And I know it kind of is coming out. We've had a few politicians on since this tragedy, and they've talked about, yeah, we've been threatened before. And so it seemed like it happens a lot more than the public knows.
Yeah. I was threatened, and then but it was from a Google phone voice number, so there wasn't anything that could be done. They also spoofed my phone number to make calls to my colleagues, which I didn't do. Yeah, it was a weird situation. But yes, I've been threatened before. When it happened, I think I had my physical address removed from my Alder like listing, because we are at least in Madison or in Wisconsin are allowed to do that. So it brings up lots of conversations and discussions about, you know, weighing transparency versus safety of your elected officials, and, you know, at what point does safety take over? And I think some are going to be arguing very soon that we are at that point where safety needs to be paramount. And maybe we're going to have to do things like, you know, redact information, you know, address information, you know, when posting, you know, like signatures or you know, other filings that candidates need to do, and just have it confirmed that address is maybe in the district or something by staff. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
No, but it's interesting, Wendy and Arvina, they took down, the state of Minnesota took down all those addresses like this Monday. But it also said that the assassin was looking up these addresses on a paid app. So, I mean, there is that too.
I mean, thank goodness for that. I'm sure that helped in identifying who he was, I presume.
But... Well, it was interesting. We have a lot of things swirling around here. And one of the things we were talking yesterday, and Wendy and I have talked about this, is that it was amazing to see how put together he was when he was arrested. Now, if this was a BIPOC person, I don't think he would have been looking as nice as he did when he got arrested. So that was one of the first things that kind of struck us.
Oh, absolutely. I also have doubts that he would have escaped even that initial night because, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I have read seems to state that Minneapolis police or St. Paul police had encountered him that night. And
yeah, the Brooklyn police. Yep. Yeah.
I mean, if it had been after midnight and they saw a person of color walking around with tactical gear.
Right. Well, and his wife too, nothing happened to his wife, and she had cash, passports, and everything, and she was never arrested either. And again, the double standards that we kind of noticed right away when it came to that. Of course, like Wendy was saying in the first segment, we were devastated. We know her, we've worked with her, we've talked to her, I have selfies of her. And so it was really a numbing feeling. And then do we go to the march at the Capitol? And so all these things were happening. And, you know, having an assassin do this on that certain date and try and throw things off from the No Kings march really made us want to go. But there's all these things that are swirling around, too, because, you know, it's just a little while ago is the anniversary of George Floyd. And then we see these white people that are murdering people, you know, go to McDonald's or something before they go in jail. You know, that it's just really glaring, I guess, for us.
It's glaring and it's disheartening, which is like, I mean, a very, very mild word to describe kind of the emotion, but it's disheartening that, you know, these perceptions get in people's brains and get into, you know, the consciences and or consciousnesses, one of the two, you know, and can have those kinds of like enormous effects, like ending somebody's life. You know, and I want to say too that Representative Hortman had a lot of friends in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I know that there are a lot of people here mourning her loss as well. So we, you know, we share that sense of mourning and sense of loss.
Absolutely. I want to ask you a question, Arvina. When you walk into your state capitol in Wisconsin, do you have to go through a metal detector or put your purse on a belt that goes through some security? I think that's going to be changing soon, too. We don't have that here either.
We've had that a couple of times. We've had what are they called? Metal detectors up at entrances. And, you know, that was after September 11th, there was more security. We had some times, you know, where there were threats to, or during the Act 10 protests, there was higher security then. I'm sure there's more that I'm not remembering because I didn't work in the building at the time. But, you know, it doesn't seem to stick around long, but
interesting.
I guess maybe we'll see.
Yeah. Mm. Well, one of the things, we only got a couple minutes. I know we're on a tight schedule here, and I want you to talk. You're the CEO of Emerge Wisconsin. Talk about maybe what that's doing. Are you rethinking some strategies in your classes with these politicians? And again, let our people know, we're all over Wisconsin here on Native Roots Radio, what Emerge Wisconsin is.
Yeah, we are an organization that identifies and trains women and non-binary folks to train them to be candidates for public office, Democratic women and trans, or women and non-binary folks, my apologies. We give them all of the information and all the tools that they need to run a successful campaign for public office. We are working really hard right now. I've been working hard trying to connect folks that maybe are dealing with trauma, trying to find resources for them to, you know, help them process this trauma. We are looking at and have been looking at, are working on a new training module that will detail information about candidate safety and digital safety. We're also working on and something I'm planning to offer my alums is a training, like a continuing education training on trauma-informed leadership and what that means and what is, you know, what they can do in a good way. How can we move on from this in a good way, the best way that we can? And how can we continue to fight for the things that Representative Hortman and her husband stood for and worked for?
Yeah. Wow. Really good point. One thing I was going to ask you, too, I know you got to get going and we only have like less than a minute left. Were you able to participate in the No Kings rallies this past weekend?
I missed them. My sister's, he knew her oldest daughter graduated from high school on Saturday. So we were at graduation. Yeah,
definitely. Well, Arvina, I really appreciate you being on, and there'll be more of those coming up for sure. And
absolutely.
Sorry about the technical difficulties in the beginning of the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Have a great day. That was Arvina Martin, of CEO of Emerge Wisconsin. And up next, we got our Little Moments segment, a monthly segment with Barb Fabre, and she's been on before, so this will be really great. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump, sources say, has approved attack plans for Iran, but has not given the final go-ahead.
ABC's Martha Raddatz is hearing that President Trump is getting comfortable with the idea of the U.S. striking Iran's key nuclear facility buried 300 feet deep under a mountain.
If that final order is given from President Trump, this would not be a single strike on the Fordo facility. It would be a series of strikes with 30,000-pound penetrator bombs from B-2 stealth bombers.
A Massachusetts jury finding Karen Reed not guilty of second-degree murder and manslaughter in the 2022 death of her Boston police officer boyfriend. Just a DUI conviction. For that, 1 year probation. The Federal Reserve kept its key interest rate unchanged today, but policymakers signaling we could still see a couple of interest rate cuts this year. With the U.S. TikTok ban set to go into effect tomorrow, President Trump again extending the deadline. ByteDance has another 90 days to find a U.S.-approved owner. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Brewers get rained out. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Brewers and Cubs are supposed to play tonight at Wrigley Field, but steady rains, game has been called. They'll move tonight's game to August 18th and a doubleheader at Wrigley Field against the Cubs. Chicago winning last night 5-3. The Cubs doing a good job this season closing out games. They are 40-1 when going into the eighth inning with the lead. NFL, I had a chance to talk to the Packers' new president and CEO, Ed Policy, yesterday at Lambeau Field, and asked him, when he takes over for Mark Murphy this summer, what are the things he wants to focus on?
The Packers, the entire organization really exists for three things and three things only, and that's to win football games, to keep the Packers in Green Bay, and to strengthen our community. So I'll be really focused on those three things, and the next big thing will be first and foremost to focus on fielding a very competitive football team that's hopefully competing for championships.
That's the Packers' new president and CEO, Ed Policy, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Bruce Springsteen biopic Deliver Me From Nowhere inches ever closer to being released. Jeremy Allen White plays the boss and has gotten high praise after sneak peeks. The cast also includes Jeremy Strong, who plays John Landau, Springsteen's longtime manager, and Stephen Graham as Bruce's father, Doug. According to Variety, the trailer is now available to view on YouTube. Deliver Me From Nowhere tells the story of the time in the boss's career when he took a break from touring and made the Nebraska album. The film hits theaters October 24th. Ted Danson says when he gave advice or predicted things while he was on Cheers, he was often completely wrong. One of his big miscues was predicting that Shelley Long was not at all right for the role of Diane Chambers. Danson told the story to Andy Richter during an episode of the Where Everybody Knows Your Name podcast that he does with Woody Harrelson. Not only was she right for the role, Long went on to garner 5 Emmy nominations, and Danson, although they had differences at times, said no one could have done it better. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated evening storms, otherwise partly cloudy and a low in the low 60s. Sunshine warmer and more humid tomorrow, high in the mid-80s, with more showers and storms around Thursday night and Friday. Highs warm into the upper 80s. Extreme heat watch this weekend. Currently at 75 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us now.
3 in 4 people have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this big, beautiful bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, making the popcorn pick of the week will be the guy behind the guy. J.B. Thompson joins me in studio. Then I'm joined by Chelsea Myris from Old World, Wisconsin. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hey-cha, wait-cha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we do have, we have our friend Barb Fabre on, and welcome, Barb. So I know you're a little under the weather, so I really appreciate you coming on, you know, and I just have to talk, I have to just do this quick read here. You know, this episode of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnerships with Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years. And Barb, I don't know, we're Facebook friends, but you see we have our grandchildren every Wednesday, and Wendy's working hard, and it's always great to have you on. And I just want to give you a quick bio, too. Barb is the CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise, and you're an enrolled member of White Earth Ojibwe Nation. And again, welcome, and thank you so much for being on.
Bonjour. I'm happy to be on. It's always fun to come here and visit with you all, and I learn so much when I go away, and hopefully I'm sharing information that helps you and others in Indian country.
Absolutely. Hey, I just want to start off, too, and congratulate you on the Ideas Grant. Can you share what this funding kind of means for RISE, All Nations RISE and Indigenous Visionings?
Sure. So we applied for the Ideas Grant, and that is through the St. Paul and Minnesota Foundation, as well as the Mardaig and F.R. Bigelow Foundation. Ideas, it's a community ideas, which stands for Impact, Development, Equity, Agency, and Solutions. And we were selected out of 30 Native-led organizations that serve tribal communities. So we're very excited about it.
Wow, that's awesome. And again, you know, when you're not on, I know we talk about Indigenous boxes and the things that you do that are so groundbreaking, simple, and awesome. The Indigenous Box Project offers culturally based activities for young children, you know, and let's talk a little bit about that, because I always love talking about that, and I always beg you too to do one for adults. Oh, wow.
Hey, great idea. Well, hopefully adults get something out of Indigibox as well, mm-hmm. because through them, they're teaching the children the activities, the cultural activities, the language, legends. So hopefully, you know, they're retaining that as they're sharing that out with the kids in their care.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about the caregivers, too, not only the parents, but the ages are of birth to three that are incorporated in these daily routines. And again, I have to be, you know, we're Ho-Chunk here, but the father's Ojibwe, so we might have to get one of those special delivered here.
Grandma here is Sicilian, so we do a little Italian, we do a little Ho-Chunk, we do a little Ojibwe, we do a little bit of everything here in the house with the babies. Yeah.
And one could be created for the Italian culture. I mean, it's endless what Indigibox could be, because we all have our own cultures, right? And mm-hmm. and we embrace them all, and some of us are blessed with many cultures. So that's what we highlight in Indigibox. So we designed it for early childhood up to grade 8. And our first boxes were for classrooms of 20, like Head Start or preschool child care centers. But then as we learn more, other people wanted to also use it. And mm-hmm. so the activities in our big boxes are for a classroom of 20 kids. And so family child care typically doesn't have 20 kids. Families don't typically have 20 kids. So so we're with this new grant fund, we're able to expand it and create boxes just for family child care, our families, and FFN, what we are, and as we care for our babies. So we're hopefully going to reach a broader broader population, our group, and it'll be less expensive than the full big box. And mm-hmm. we're also doing some changes to how people can order in Digibox. Prior, it was a subscription box that classrooms received four times a year based on the seasons. However, now we're looking at putting everything up a la carte so that people can purchase what they want and the size they want. So we're really excited about that.
That is exciting. And I hope you come back, even if it isn't with a little, not with Little Moments Count, but let us know when that comes up, because we'd really like to amplify that all across Turtle Island. And we'd probably like to get one too, Wendy.
Absolutely.
One or two, yeah. or subscribe. That is really good news, because, you know, we've been talking over the years, Barb, and you know, we talk about your boxes all the time, even when you're not around. Yeah. So
appreciate that.
It's a great way to do it. And you know, talk a little bit too about the early bonding with the language development, because we have a godchild, Wendy and I, that they are bilingual. They speak Spanish and English, and it took them longer, Wendy, to start talking, because they were their neurons in their brain were doubling up on two languages at once.
They can do that. Children from the early years, as you know, the brain is developed 80% by age five. So whatever you're introducing to them, their brains are little sponges and they're just soaking it up. And so by teaching two languages, it is like really intensifying their learning, and their brains are just going crazy, and that's super good for them. So,
you know, what kind of authentic items, cultural items, are the key parts of Indigenous Box? I'd really like to know that. And again, I think the caregivers and the parents will be learning or relearning at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we want to make it authentic. So, you know, we look for cultural items that are significant and a normal thing that Indigenous children see. You know, the drum, you know, and powwows, and just the teachings from the four seasons, which is pretty common across all Indigenous cultures. And so we want to make sure that whatever we're providing or purchasing for the cultural item in the box, that it's made from local crafters. And we are always looking for crafters. And so, you know, any of your listeners out there, we hope if you're a crafter, get a hold of us at www.indigenousvisioning.com. And through the contact form, we'd love to hear from you and see what your craft is. You won't see any made in Japan items in the box. And, you know, so we look to our tribal communities to help provide everything from the stories to the cultural item, to the books. Everything in it is from Indian country.
And that's awesome, Barb, because we talk about powwows here, and we do powwows with Native Roots Trading Post too. And we always talk to our listeners and say, ask them who made this. You know, when you go to a powwow, you can ask people who designed these earrings or who made these earrings. And if they can't tell you, it's probably not an Indigenous person. So that's really cool to hear that you just automatically are doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many talented people out there, and mm-hmm. boy, you look at what the things they can make, and it's amazing. So we want to highlight that too, and then we also highlight our crafters in our books and our magazine, so that other people can purchase from them if they want to. So it's just something that is very natural for us, and we want to get away from that stereotype in the classrooms, mm-hmm. and we want to teach the truth and the real Indigenous tribal communities and how beautiful they are and everything that comes from them.
That's beautiful too. And when we go for our walks, Wendy and I, we are picking up books on those libraries. But you always also have books paired with the activities that are part of Indigenous Box. And you know, how can parents and caregivers very young use these books from Indigenous authors to foster, you know, early literacy? And you talked a little bit about that, but specifically, how about books?
Yeah, we try to find books from Indigenous authors, our Indigenous publishers. We go to like Indigenous stores like Birchbark in Minneapolis. We purchase from them. So we're always on the hunt for those authentic books or anything else. And we just want to, again, highlight all the beautiful, talented people out there. And we do that through Indigibox while teaching, restoring our language and our teachings and our legends that our ancestors have passed down over centuries.
That's awesome. And one of the things, too, I'm picturing, and I don't know if you have shared with us before, but what does the box look like?
Oh, so we got brand new boxes that'll be on the website. We're super excited. My daughter, actually, she's an artist, and mm-hmm. she created the artwork on the new Indigibox. And so that'll be up on the website soon. The grant allowed us to actually do things like that. We've been short-staffed and just haven't had a lot of time that we need to, you know, incorporate Indigibox into the mainstreams of early childhood classrooms and elementary. So this grant just helped us immensely, you know, rethink Indigibox to make it more accessible and affordable for families.
Hey, we're here with Barb Fabre, is CEO of Indigenous Visioning and All Nations Rise, and this is our portion of Little Moments Count, a statewide collaboration focusing on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development. And we're going to be talking more about the grant and Indigenous Box. This is Native Roots Radio.
Stay with us.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you 2 go-card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Do you have a personal financial goal like buying a car, starting a business, saving for college, or investing for retirement? Whatever your goal is, you need a plan. It might seem overwhelming, but like physical fitness, you can gradually improve your financial health step by step. Start by creating a spending plan, improving your credit score, opening a bank account, or finding a trusted advisor. Not sure where to start? Visit mn.gov/commerce/money for more.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACDI.org.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Counts.
Hey, we are here with our friend Barb Fabre, and we're talking about a couple things here. We're talking about the Ideas Award that Indigenous Box, Indigibox got, and that stands for Impact Development Equity Agency and Solutions. And a big congratulations, and so well deserved. And you're going to be able to ramp this up and in a better way for the caregivers and the parents. It's just a win-win situation. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here and share our good news. We were very excited to be selected and humbled, because I'm sure all the other organizations were just as amazing. So, yeah, we're excited. We're going to be able to do Lakota and Dakota Box is going to be our next project. And it also aligns with our family, friends, and neighbor program that we have. We have a lot of unlicensed child care providers through our FFN, which you two are, and me and my husband are. We take care of our babies, our grandbabies. And sometimes it's for pay, and sometimes it's not. And so we want to make sure, our FFN families are getting what they receive and the supports that they need as well. So we're super excited with both of our projects. We're incorporating Lakota and Dakota. So we'll be reaching out to the communities and the elders to get their perspective and help us build that.
That's awesome. You know, we talk about this, but I think it's great to bring it up. And also, it's good for me to listen. But we talk about the first year, 3 years from birth to 3 years, and how crucial language development is. And, Indigenbox supports and preserves or revitalization of our language. And that's so, so important. We can't. And just kudos to you. It's just so important. And we've been talking about this kind of thing for years, but you're doing it.
Yeah, it was, we learned from experience that there wasn't a lot of culture in early childhood programs. There's great websites out there, but, not everybody accesses them. So we thought, what's the next best thing that we can bring into classrooms? And just imagine children, learning and the whole classroom's learning an Ojibwe word, that they use in their home. Mm-hmm. And we're bringing back that pride to be Indigenous. And it's also, for non-Native children, they're learning about the diverse world, and they're learning mm-hmm. about community members.
Yeah, absolutely. And that cannot hurt, especially these days with a lot of our history being erased. So good on Indigibox and good on what you're doing. Hey, looking forward, how do you hope to work with Indigibox and All Nations Rise will impact lives of Indigenous children and their families during these crucial years? How can community members support this important work? And this is a call to action that we try to bring out, but it's also really, I don't know what the word is, but I'm trying to say that you guys deserve all the support you can get. So how can people support you?
Oh, I appreciate that. They can purchase our Indigibox for their classrooms or for their home. And share, maybe they're a crafter again, and an author, and we'd love to support them as well. And, we the grant also allowed us to have an extra staff. So now we'll be able to get out on the road and take Indigibox out on the road to school districts, to conferences, to early childhood programs. So just help spread the word and go to our website and learn more. Our new website will be done shortly. We're working on it now. So that's another thing the grant allowed us to do, is to really spruce it up and make mm-hmm. it more user-friendly.
Do you want to give that out now, or is it under construction?
Well, it's our indigenousvisioning.com website, and on there they just click on the Indigibox button and it'll take them right there. So our old ordering process is up now, but in a couple months we'll launch our new website, and so hopefully everybody will check it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, come back on, because we definitely want to.
Yeah, we're excited about it.
Our grandkids are 10 house, months old. We need, we need them sooner.
We do, yes.
I'll send you my address.
All right.
Oh, we're excited.
And then maybe in a few years you'll do Ho-Chunk. Ho-wa.
Oh, yes, we can. Yes, we can. It's, you know, that is a dream. That is my big dream, is to have mm-hmm. it. In as many different languages that we can, because they're all beautiful, and there's kids that can benefit from it, and classrooms that can benefit from authentic indigenous stories and legends.
Well, we have a few minutes, and I've exhausted my questions, but I have a question. How did you start this? And how did you come up with Indigibox? And I think we talked about that a few years ago, but let's hear that story again.
Sure. After I worked for my tribe for about 30 years, and for mostly in the early childhood services, and my friend and colleague, Tammy Finn, and I started Indigenous Visioning. And we both left the tribe. She left Leech Lake, and I left White Earth. And so we were like, you know, she showed me one of her subscription boxes. I'd never seen a subscription box. So she showed it to me, and we were like, geez, we should indigenize this. And, you know, so we just, one thing led to another. So we created 50 boxes just to see if it's something, and sent it out to our networks. And within 4 days, we were sold out. So, and we were like, okay, this is something. So, and then we just start doing it. And honestly, some of our teachers, especially the non-native teachers, are so excited about it. They love it because, you know, they're not sure of themselves when most of the classrooms require some sort of culture. And, you know, they didn't have anything. And if they're in a tribal community, you know, they're just not unsure what to bring in. And then also to tie it to child outcomes, because as an early childhood classroom, you have to have outcomes with everything you do in there. So mm-hmm. we made it easy, and we did that for them. So our new boxes will be tied to child outcomes through the Minnesota Early Learning Standards, Teaching Strategies Gold, and High Scope, which is one of the more popular curriculums in schools. So we wanted to make it easy for teachers, and we provide material that they won't find in the classroom, and we provide everything in there, and we offer teacher prompts so they can engage children in the learning of that lesson. So yeah, wow. it's from experience, because I monitored and ran several childcare centers, mm-hmm. and so did Tammy, and so we knew there wasn't anything in there. So and then we worked with Head Start programs, we knew it wasn't in mm-hmm. there. Elementary, we knew it wasn't in there. So we just decided to try it, and you know, it took off. It resonated with people, and they were appreciative.
Wow, I can see, because we're always excited when we talk about it. And Wendy's over here. I don't know, Wendy, have you heard about this before? I don't think you've been on.
No, I haven't.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time, our old friend Dan Schaefer, political editor of Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be here to help us recombobulate. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A severe storm threat for more than 115 million Americans tonight, from the Midwest to the East Coast. Right to ABC News meteorologist Lee Goldberg.
From New England, New York City, Philly, D.C., down to Raleigh, damaging winds, large hail, even isolated tornadoes. That's late in the afternoon and evening. This is the gateway to the higher heat. It's a flip of the pattern in the east. It's heat to start summer. Feel like ratings over 100. Definitely some weather whiplash in the northeast.
And those storms causing widespread destruction in West Virginia. Governor Patrick Morrissey says at least 8 people are confirmed dead, 1 person still missing. Karen Reed was found not guilty in the death of her Boston police officer boyfriend, just a drunk driving conviction for which she'll do a year's probation. Nearly a week of aerial attacks between Israel and Iran, sources now telling ABC News that President Trump is getting comfortable with the idea of the U.S. striking Iran's key nuclear facility buried 300 feet deep under a mountain, but has not made a final decision. This is ABC News.